We continue today in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim with Perek Vov, Mishneh Beis, and Mishneh Gimel, the sixth Perek, the second and third Mishnayos. The Mishneh Beis begins, Ho'even Shohoyo Shoyfei Soleho V'al Hatanur. If you have a stone on the ground, which is connected to the ground, cemented into the ground with tit, with this mud plaster, and it is lying adjacent to a tanur, and a pot can be placed, one edge of the pot upon the tanur, the other edge protruding out of the tanur and resting on the stone. And between the stone and the tanur, you make a fire. So it's as if this is an addition to the tanur. So ho'even shehoye shofei soleho, a stone which you place upon it, you lie to rest upon it, a kedero, a pot, partly on it, on the even, which is mechuba to the ground with tit, and the other part, the al ha'tanur, or oleho v'al hakiro, oleho v'al hakupoch. Or it's partly upon the stone, the kdero, and partly upon a kiro, or partly upon a kupach, temeo. In all of these situations, the even becomes tome, because the even is really just a kind of a corridor surrounding the tanur. And therefore it's part of the tanur, and it's mekabel tumah. Suppose, however, oleho v'al ho'even, you have one stone, and adjacent to it is another stone. One is cemented to the ground, and the other is not. So it's not a complete klicheres. Remember, kli avonim are not mekabel tuma. What makes it mekabel tuma in the first instance of shofeis oleho v'al hatanur is because the even is mechuba to the ground with tit, and the other side upon which the kedera rests is a tanur, which is bona fide klicheres. However, in this case now, he's placing the pot upon an even next to an even. One is mechuba to the ground with tit, and the other is not. It's just a stone. Or oleho v'al hasela. He has a loose stone, loose meaning uprooted from the ground, but cemented to the ground with tit. And that is one edge of the kedera. And the other is placed upon a sela. Sela means virgin rock, rock in the ground, part of the ground. Or oleho v'al hakosel. It's partly, the kedera is resting partly on this stone, which is mechuberes to the ground with tit, and the other part of the kedera is resting upon a binyan, a wall. In all these cases, the even remains tohora, because this is not a klicheres. The reason is given by the Meforshim, because remember the key posuk with reference to klicheres is in Chumash Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Posuk Lamed Beis, Tanur V'kirayim Yutots, that the way to purify, to remove tuma from a tanur or a kira is by smashing it. It says Yutots, which means smashing it. Well, in all these examples, the verb smashing, netitza, lintots, does not apply. A stone not connected to the ground with tit is already netutza. A loose stone is just a smashed stone. It's not a part of a keli. And a sela and a kosel, you can't speak of netitza for something which is mechubar lekarka. And the sela is part of the ground. The kosel is a binyan, a structure. So therefore, the stone in such an instance remains tohor. The Mishnah adds, v'zo, this situation of a stone cemented to the ground, close to a stone, a sela, a natural stone in the ground, and have a fire between the Eben and the Sela, that was the Kira in the Beis HaMikdosh, that Nazirim, remember, the Nazir, as part of his process of becoming Tohor, would bring a Korban Shlomim, and he would cook it, and extract from it the Zroa B'Shelo. Now, you want, in such a situation, that it shouldn't be susceptible to Tumah. So the way to cook this Shlomim of the Nazir is by constructing such a primitive oven of a stone cemented to the ground adjacent to a stone in the ground, a natural stone, with a fire between them. This primitive Kira is not Mikabel Tumah. They place one stone close to a sela, a stone in the ground, a rock in its natural setting, and it's not mekabel tumah. Fine. The Mishnah continues, kiras hatabochim. You had people selling meat, and what they would do, they would have it's a public place, and people would come to buy cooked meat. So they would line up a whole series, 5, 6, 10 stones in a row, one next to another with a small space between them. In the space between them, they would make a fire, and they would put a pot, part of the pot on the stone to the left, part of the pot on the stone to the right, all the way down the row of stones. They would have many pots, and they would be able to serve as many people as they had pots. So this was the custom then. So the Mishnah says, Kiras HaTabochim, when you have this series of stones, each pair of stones serving as a kira, because there was a fire between the stones, and the stones, remember, are Michuboros Bekarka Bitit, they're connected to the ground with this mud plaster cement. Bisman shehu nosein even bitzad even nitmeis achas mehen lo nitmeu kulam. If, for example, you have stones light up in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and between stone 1 and stone 2, it becomes tomei. So between stone 2 and stone 3 do not become tomei, because each kira is considered a separate compartment. It's similar to the situation we had in Perek Bey's Mishneh Zayin of Kalmorim Hamusamos. You have, for example, a tray with different compartments into which the scribe puts his paper clips in this compartment, his pens in this compartment, his razor in this compartment, the eraser in another compartment. Each compartment is considered like a separate keli. So too here, each pair of stones is considered a separate keli. In between them is tomei, but the adjacent pair of stones is not tomei. Continuing now to Mishnah Gimel, Shalosh Avonim Sha'ason Shtei Kirayim. If you line up three stones, 1, 2, and 3, and between 1 and 2 you have a fire, between 2 and 3 you have a fire. So you have these three stones comprising 2 kirayim. Shalosh Avonim Sha'ason Shtei Kirayim. Nitmeis Achas Min Hachitzono. Suppose one of the stones, let's make the example a little clearer. You have 4 stones, okay? 4 stones, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And between 1 and 2, you have a fire. Between 2 and 3, you have a fire. Between 3 and 4, you have a fire. So, nitmeis achas min hachitzono. So suppose one of the outer kiros, one of the kira on the end between 1 and 2 becomes tomei. Hoem soyis hamishameshes hatemes hatemeya temeya. All right. So there's a kira between stones 1 and 2, and a kira between stones 2 and 3. When 1 and 2 become tomei, so the part of 2, the part of the middle stone, which is facing 1, which is serving as a wall for this kira, which has become tomei, that's tomei. But hamishameshes says hatohora, the part of stone number 2, the middle stone, which is facing stone number 3, that remains tohor. So you adjudge this middle stone, stone number two in our example, as if it was in half. The part which faces, in our example, the tome part, stone one, between stone one and two, the half of the stone two, which is facing the space between one and two, that becomes tome. But the half of the stone number two, which is facing between two and three, that remains tahora. Nitlo ha-tahora, suppose you remove stone three, huchlito ha-emtsoyes le-tumo. Now you're remaining with only stone one and two. And that space between one and two has become tome. So the whole number two, which was previously the middle stone, but now there is no more number three, so it's only two stones, one and two. And between there was a sheretz or whatever, so the whole stone two becomes tome. Huchlito becomes totally tome. Remember, all of these stones, each and every one of these stones, is michuberes lekarka betit, is attached to the ground with tit. If not, it's just kliavonim. Kliavonim are not mekabel tumo. Nitlo hatemeyo. Suppose you have stones one and two and three, and between one and two became tome. So at that moment, the part of two which is facing one is tome. The part of two which is facing three is tohor. Now you took away stone number one, so all you're left with is stone number two and number three, and that space, that kira, the space between two and three, was always tohora. Huch l'toho emtsoyis l'tahara. Now stone number two becomes completely tohor. Nitmu'u shtayim hachitzonos. Suppose the two outer ones became tome. Im hoisoho emtsoyis gedolo, nosein lo zo kedei shevisa mikan, v'lo zo kedei shevisa mikan, v'hasha'or tohor. So, in this situation, you have originally three stones. Stone number one, and stone number two, and stone number three. And both the area between one and two, and the area between two and three, became tome. Nitma'u shtayim hachitzonos. The two stones, one and three, are tome. Im hoisoho emtsoyis gedolo. If stone number one was large enough so that a kedera could sit on its last tefach facing number one, and another kedera could stand on its last tefach facing number three, and the space in between on that stone is not part of the, is not serving either purpose. So no sein lazo kedei shevisa mikan. The part of stone number two, which is facing stone number one, upon which you can put a kedera for the one to two cavity, that's tome. For lazo kedei shevisa mikan, and the part of stone number two, which is facing stone number three, upon which you can put a kedera on that part of number two, which is facing number three, so the kedera can sit on the edge of two facing three and upon three. Those, that part of the stone is tome, are tome. Those parts of the stone are tome. V'hasha'or, but the whole middle of the stone could be six tefachim wide. And all you need is a tefach at one edge and a tefach on the other edge. The rest is superfluous. It's not serving any purpose. The middle is tohor. V'im hoisa katana, but suppose it's a small, narrow stone, and it's, let's say, it's two tefachim wide, so you can put a kedera on one edge of it and on number one, and the kedera on the other edge of it, and on number three, and there's no middle between those two kederos, hakol tome, all three stones are tome. Suppose, however, you have stone number one, and number two, and number three, and stone number one and number three become tome. And now you remove the middle one, you remove stone number two, nitlo emtsoyis, you remove stone number two, im yochol, so now you have stones number one and three with a big space between them. Is it a functional kira? It depends. If they're close enough so that you can take a large pot, a big cauldron, and put part of it on number one and the other part of number three, so it's one very wide kira. im yochol lishpos oleha yora gedola. If you can put upon stones number 1 and 3, stone number 2 is out of the picture now. And you have stones number 1 and 3 which are far apart, but close enough so that you can put a yora gedola upon, partly upon 3 and partly upon 1, tumeya. So that hole in between becomes tome. Now you have a wide 1 to 3 space with a big yora on top of it. And now, hechzira, you take stone number 2 and put it back under tahora. The whole thing becomes tahora. Because the stone under that kettle, totally under the kettle, in the middle of the kettle, middle of the big cauldron, the yora gadola, impedes the heating process. And therefore, it's as if you took this big kira, a spread from 1 to 3, and you ruined it by replacing the number 2, the emtsoyis, into it. So it becomes tahora, and from this point on, it can only again be mekabel tuma if mercha betit, if the whole inside is smeared with tit, then mekabel es tuma. Now it's a new kira. If mishiyasi keno kedei levashel aleho es habeitza, if you heat it up sufficiently so that you could cook upon it an egg, it can be made into a kira chadosha. This is the end of Mishnah Gimel of Perek Vav, and in the process we've concluded lesson number 22.